to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. But what is a baby to be aborted but an orphan? What is that woman but a widow? We cannot look to the White House to take care of these widows and orphans. We cannot look to HHS to make decisions about the future of unborn children and women and their reproductive health. We need to look to ourselves. We need to look to our own families and the compassionate care that the local churches have. When we stop taking care of women in distress, we let the government step in and say, I will do it. And now we're in a mess. I say, let's take it back to the churches. Let's take it back to our communities and let's step it up. Folks, when Roe v. Wade is overcome, and when HHS gets out of all of our business, are you ready? Are you willing to help take care of those who find themselves in distress, who find themselves with unplanned pregnancies? Is the body of Christ ready to say, okay, when they say, okay, it's back to you. We're out of this. We have nothing to do with it. You regulate yourselves. You take care of it. Can we do it?
Yes.
I believe we can. Years, we've seen thousands of babies saved. We've seen thousands of people who've had abortions receive healing. They don't have to deal with grief and anger and disappointment and wonder about what happened to their baby. We introduce them to the one who has the answer. We introduce them to Jesus Christ, who restores and heals and brings them back to life. That's what the body of Christ is doing here. And it's happening all over our nation. Choose one. Take care of it. Don't just hold a sign. Don't just say what we don't like. Let's say what we do like. Take care of Bethany Christian Services. Take care of Miracle Hill Ministries. There are compassionate ministries all over. Stand in the gap with them. We've got to be ready, because I believe Roe v. Wade will be overturned in my lifetime. What are we going to do to take care of those who have no voice? It will be our responsibility.
Steve?
That's my challenge to you, is to stand in the gap with us. Make sure that what happens in the White House, what happens with HHS, what happens with all that, continue to have a voice. We continue to speak for that, but let's be ready. When God says, I have heard my people, they have repented, they have turned away from their wicked ways, it's time for them to step up. Join me. God bless you. Thank you for letting me join you today.
Our next speaker today is Father Dwight Longenecker. He is a Bob Jones University graduate. He's the author of 16 books. He received his master's in theology at Oxford University. He lived in England for about 25 years, where he served as an Anglican priest. His journey of faith brought him back home, him and his family, back home and into the Catholic Church. That happened in 2006. Here in the United States, he came to be ordained as a Catholic priest, and he now serves as the pastor of Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic Church. So please welcome.
Thank you, Tony. I heard his introduction and said that this is a non-religious, non-ecumenical, non-partisan meeting, and there's a bottle of water over here. I thought he was going to add, and if you want to be baptized, we can do that. And then I remembered that he was Baptist, and I thought there's not enough water there. So it's a privilege for me to be here and speak with you today. It's true that I said before you as a Bob Jones University graduate, and also as a Catholic priest. Now, you might wonder how that came to be. And sometimes I wonder, too. If you're interested in that curious faith journey of mine, then you can check out some of the articles and stuff that I've written on my website, dwightlongenecker.com, and also my blog. Then you'll find there an explanation of why I made that faith journey. One of the things I can truly say, honestly, this morning is that Over those years from Bob Jones to becoming a Catholic, I have never denied or repudiated anything that was good and beautiful and true from my evangelical upbringing. Never denied anything beautiful, good, and true, and plenty of those things from my time at Bob Jones. Instead, I've added to that more and more of God's goodness, truth, and beauty. And that brought me into the Catholic Church. So I share that with you, and also share something which I read when I was a teenager in an evangelical Protestant church, a book that some of you probably read as well called Tortured for Christ by Richard Wurmbrand. Richard was a, I believe, Pentecostal pastor who was imprisoned and tortured for his faith under the communist regime in Romania or Czechoslovakia. I don't remember which one it was. And he said in prison he met a Catholic priest, an Eastern Orthodox priest. He met Baptist pastors. He met Lutheran pastors. And he gave the witness that there in prison, there were no Roman Catholic priests. There were no Lutheran pastors. There were no Baptist or Pentecostal. There were only brothers. That particular witness has stayed with me over the years, reminding me that the unity that we have in Jesus Christ is a greater unity than that the world understands. There is a time, of course, for Protestants and Catholics to get together and have discussions. There's a time to get together and debate. There's a time to swap Bible verses. There's a time even to have a good old-fashioned theological scrap. But this is not that time. Instead, we stand together on this particular issue. So I'd like to take just a moment this morning to explain the Catholic understanding of the issues at hand so that we can understand the bigger issues which are also at hand. The Catholic Church official teaching is that we are opposed to artificial contraception. This is not just because somebody decided it was a good idea, but because it's actually written into the laws of nature. It's written right there in the scriptures. In Genesis, God created male and female in his image. It's written there in our Lord's words that he created male and female and told them to be fruitful and multiply. And therefore, we understand from natural law and from God's law, from the scriptures, that the marriage act is given to humanity for procreation, for creating new life. And anything which interferes with that artificially is therefore unnatural. It interferes with God's plan. It interferes with life. Therefore, artificial contraception, we say, turns procreation into recreation. And therefore, the Catholic Church is opposed to it. Always opposed to it. Because by its very nature, therefore, it goes against God's natural way. Well, as one of our famous writers, G.K. Chesterton, said, birth control? No birth, no control. And so the Catholic Church is opposed to sterilization for the same reason. Sterilization artificially cuts off human life, cuts off the source of human life, cuts off the beautiful relationship between husband and wife, and a beautiful relationship between husband, wife, and God, which brings a new human, eternal soul into being. So we're opposed to that too. And we're opposed to abortion. The idea that we can impose cruel implements and tools into the safety of mother's womb to dismember and extract that child, what kind of barbarity do we condone? So the Catholic Church says no. We're pro-life, therefore we're against death in all its forms. We're therefore also against so-called artificial contraception, which is abortifacient in its nature. That means it causes abortion. Now the critic will say, oh, come on, Father, you know, 90% of Catholics use artificial contraception, and a lot of them are in favor of abortion and sterilization under certain circumstances. But I'd come back and say, what kind of a grade school argument is that? Everybody else is doing it. Okay? Nobody actually says that because everybody cheats on their income taxes, except me, that stealing is good. Nobody says that if everybody else is committing adultery and being divorced and remarried umpteen times, that adultery is good. We don't argue that way in any other way. So why now? No, the Catholic Church says these things are wrong. And it doesn't matter if 90% or 95% or 99.9% of people are doing it, we still believe it's wrong. It's part of our religious conviction. The critic will come back and say, hang on, we're not making any of you Catholics have abortions and use artificial contraception. We're not making you be sterilized. You still have freedom. You don't have to do that, but you're making us pay for it. Okay? That the Catholic Church is the largest provider, one of the largest providers of education and health care in the country. We have schools, we have hospitals, we have ministries to the poor and needy, which actually employ non-Catholics and minister to non-Catholics. That's one of the things we do. And therefore, we would have to provide this insurance coverage for all of these employees, even if they're not Catholics, and even for some others, even though it goes against our conscience. Therefore, we stand up and say we can't do it. It violates our religious freedom. Josh has already told you how the domino effect will happen. These religious freedoms are infringed. After the Catholics will come all the other religious groups. I have to tell you, if you're not aware of it, that there is an attack on religious freedom all over the world. All over the world, secular, atheistic regimes are intent on stamping out religious freedom. In Denmark this week, the government forced the churches to allow for same-sex union marriages, so-called marriages, to take place in their churches. In Canada, the government is trying to mandate for sexual morality, which endorses all sorts of immorality, to be taught not only in the schools, not only in religious schools, but also in homeschool situations. In the UK, the government has mandated that a person may not wear a crucifix or a cross in public at the workplace. In France, the government has mandated that Islamic women may not wear the burqa. That's the head-to-toe religious covering which they wear. In this country, a Supreme Court case happily ruled it out, but the government tried to control who a Lutheran church could appoint and employ in their school and church, even though it went against the religious freedom. So these attacks are going on in many, many different ways, in many, many different fronts, and we need to be aware of it right now and stand up now. Finally, as Josh has pointed out, you cannot have religious freedom without all the other freedoms as well. If you can only suppress religious freedom by suppressing also the freedom of speech. You can only suppress religious freedom by suppressing the freedom to gather. If you're going to suppress religious freedom, you have to also suppress the expression of that religious freedom. Therefore, this is an issue not just for Catholics, not just for Christians, not just for other religious believers, but for every American. Therefore, I'll close by quoting Benjamin Franklin and encouraging us all to stand together, because he said, gentlemen, if we do not stand together, we will most surely hang separately. Amen.
Thank you, Father. I just want to add a word to that. As a vice president and administrator at North Greenville University, we are a Baptist university supported by the South Carolina Baptist Convention, and we would have to come under these same mandates. We would be forced, as an education of higher learning, education of an institution of higher learning, to come under these mandates and to pay for abortions in our insurance plans. And we're not going to do it, ladies and gentlemen, because it's not
going to do it.
In the interest of time, is everybody okay if we don't sing here? We just kind of keep rolling. Is that okay? All right, good. We took a vote. It's a constitutional republic. We're okay. Let me introduce to you Suzette Jordan. She spent 24 years at Bob Jones University Press. She's currently the constituent services representative for Congressman Trey Gowdy's Greenville office. Suzette Jordan, ladies and gentlemen.
Congressman Gowdy couldn't be here today because he's flying back from Washington, but I have a letter for him that I'd like to read.
Speak up!
To those in attendance. Freedom is one of our most important.
time is 12:45 at Greenville County Square on Friday, June 8th, 2012.